So James chapter 3, a beautiful passage this morning on wisdom. Starting in verse 13, the Bible says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." So I'm going to take the title from verse 13, "A Wise Man." A wise man. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd use your word in our hearts this evening, and I mean this morning, to teach us, to grow us, to make us more like our Savior Jesus Christ, Lord. Just meet with us, and may you be glorified in this service. We thank you for the privilege to be here. We pray that the Holy Spirit now would have free course in every heart and life. We ask this in the name of our wonderful Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Who is a wise man? What a question. Who is a wise man? You know, God wrote an entire book called the Book of Proverbs through a wise man named Solomon to try to get this across to us, how important it is that we have godly wisdom. Because there are other types of wisdom out there, as we will see later on in the passage. But Proverbs was written, if you go back to chapter 1, for that express purpose, to give us wisdom. And I hope that you read Proverbs on a regular basis, because there is so much wisdom contained there. Remember, Solomon was given more wisdom than anyone that ever lived outside of Jesus Christ. And God wrote this book through him to give us wisdom. Notice verse 5 of chapter 1. "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." Go to chapter 4, verse 5. Chapter 4, verse 5 of Proverbs. "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth." Chapter 4, verse 7. "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." And then over in chapter 16, if you turn there. Now, we could have spent all morning looking at verses on wisdom in Proverbs. I'm just giving you a sampling. 16:16, "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver?" God says that a wise man is endued with knowledge, and a wise man's behavior will be a reflection of the wisdom that he's attained. But as we know, and as we'll see in the passage here in James 3, true wisdom only comes from the Lord. And so there's other wisdoms out there. Fleshly wisdom is one of the things that was mentioned. But go back to our passage. The Bible says here, if you're a wise man, if you are endued with knowledge, if you have gained some wisdom from the Lord, notice he says, let him show out of a good conversation. Wisdom is essentially the application of knowledge. It's one thing to get knowledge, it's another thing to apply it to your life. And God has given us a book filled with application. Things that we can apply to our walk. Things that we can apply to our conversation. This word conversation is talking about our whole demeanor. Everything about our behavior is our conversation. And God says that if you are truly a wise man, that it will be reflected with a good conversation. That it will actually impact our behavior if we've acquired wisdom. Now, if we've just acquired a bunch of knowledge, a bunch of facts, and there's no change in our lives, then we didn't get wisdom. That's what God is telling us in this passage. And didn't Jesus say the same thing last week? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. In other words, our works, our conversation, our lives should be a reflection of us. Have we been changed? Well, if we've been saved, we've obviously been changed. We're a new creature. But have we been changed by acquiring godly wisdom from His Word? Has it actually impacted us? Has it actually made our lives a reflection of that wisdom of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them," there in Matthew 7, "I will liken him to a wise man which buildeth a house upon a rock." I think they just sang that in Sunday school. In other words, it'll be reflected in the life. If you're truly a wise man and you're building your house on a rock, who is it? Who heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them? In other words, our life is different. Our life is Christ-like. Philippians 1:27 says, "Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." Our conversation, our behavior should be a reflection of our profession, which is we claim to be Christians. We claim to be Christ followers. A big aspect of that is acquiring godly wisdom on a regular basis, such that God can use that to change us. Notice he says, verse 13 of our passage, "Let him show out of a good conversation his works." The Bible says that Jesus came that he might purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. There in Titus 2:14. God wants our conversation, our works, to be a reflection of this wisdom that we have attained. Now there's danger with wisdom. What is the danger? The danger that stems from the original sin, pride. And that's why he says here in verse 13, "with meekness of wisdom." See, the problem is, the more wisdom that we gain, the more we might be prone to be, I don't know what word to use, proud of our wisdom. We'll just say that. Pleased with ourselves. That we're actually growing, that we're actually improving, that we're actually more like Jesus. And that's why he says, meekness of wisdom. God wants our wisdom to be received with meekness. In other words, to always admit that I'm not there yet. Yes, I've acquired some wisdom. Praise God. And some of you have been saved a while. There might be some people in here saved more than 40 years. Some people saved more than 50 years. That's amazing, all the wisdom that you've attained. But have you attained it all? No. None of us have. Because are we walking exactly like Jesus? No. So let's look at some scriptures. Romans chapter 12, verse 16, which warn us that, yes, we must be constantly attaining wisdom. It should be reflected in our conversation and in our works, but it must be meek, received with meekness. Romans 12:16, "Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." What does that mean? Be not wise in your own conceits. It means be careful. As you acquire wisdom, don't start being pleased about the wisdom you've acquired to the point that it becomes a pride thing. Be not wise in your own conceits. Let's look at another passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 3:18. I love this verse because it tells us we've never arrived. And we haven't. It says, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise." What does that mean? It means we've got to constantly come to God with the attitude of, "Lord, I don't know. I don't know the answers. I need help. I need wisdom." If that's our attitude, then God will keep giving the wisdom. But if our attitude becomes, "Oh, I know the answers," now we're in trouble. We're right where the devil wants us. Now one more, 1 Corinthians 8:2. "If any man think that he knoweth anything," what's it say? "He knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know." Isn't that a great verse? If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. In other words, if we ever feel like we've arrived and we've got all the answers, then we're right back at square one. We're in trouble. Pride has taken over. So, who's a wise man? James asks the question. And what's James about? What's James primarily about the whole book? It's about our lives being a reflection of our faith. That our faith comes out in our behavior. That's what the book's primarily about. It talks about the tongue. Talks about our works. What's he saying here? That if we've truly gained wisdom, it will be reflected in our conversation and in our works. But we must constantly receive our wisdom with meekness, with this attitude that I still need more. And we do. And that day will never come where we don't until we leave this earth. We still need more. So moving on, verse 14, but. So there's a but. He says, if you're a wise man, good. Show it in your conversation. Show it in your works. Receive it with meekness. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. What's he saying? He's saying, if you claim to be wise, if you claim that you've gained some wisdom from the Lord, but your life is not a reflection of that, then it's not true. You haven't acquired wisdom from God. You've acquired wisdom from someone else other than God, because your life isn't a reflection of the wisdom you've attained. That's why he says glory not. Where does glorying come from? Pride. The opposite of meekness of wisdom is glorying in the wisdom that we've received. And that's why he says glory not. Verse 15, this wisdom descendeth not from above. Well, we all know where it must descend from then. It comes from somewhere else. It's earthly, sensual, devilish. It comes from the devil. And the Bible talks about this kind of wisdom. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. A couple of descriptions given here, primarily 1 and 2 Corinthians. You know why that is? Because the Corinthian church was the most carnal church that Paul had to deal with. And pride was a big problem with the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians 2:4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Look at chapter 3, verse 19 of 1 Corinthians. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Now 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12, one more. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom. So look at these descriptions. Man's wisdom, wisdom of this world, fleshly wisdom. There is another wisdom out there. And it's not God's. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We think we have the answers because we're prideful, because we're self-centered. And as soon as we move forward in our own wisdom, God says we're going the wrong way. That wisdom is from somewhere else. Notice he says, verse 15, earthly, sensual, devilish. Earthly comes from the devil's domain, the devil's kingdom. Sensual comes from our flesh. Devilish, well, we know where that comes from. Earthly, sensual, devilish. There's the whole thing. That's the three realms that we're tempted in. If you think about it, we're either tempted by our flesh, we're tempted by this world, right? The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, or we're tempted by the devil, who's referred to as the tempter. And God says that this wisdom that doesn't descend from above comes from those places, earthly, sensual, devilish. In verse 16, where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. So the opposite of meekness, by the way, is this pride, this stiff neck thing, which is what he's talking about here, the strife. And strife often stems from unresolved differences. It often stems from believing that we are right and others are wrong. its carnality coming out in our behavior. And God says this wisdom is not from God. So what's the answer? Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above. This is what we all need. We need wisdom that is from above. Wisdom that comes from God and God alone. And that wisdom cannot be found in any other place than in God's Word. Go to Psalm 111, verse 10, if you would. But it has to be received with the right attitude. An attitude of meekness. An attitude of God has the answers and I don't. Sometimes referred to as the fear of the Lord. Notice Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. If our approach isn't that God is right and I'm wrong, then we aren't even at the beginning. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom comes from God, but it only comes when we approach God with that attitude of complete reverence, of complete fear, in the sense that God is God and I am man, and God has the answers and I don't. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Notice Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. So we can establish, where does this wisdom that's from above come from? In Old Testament days, sometimes it would come directly from God through the prophets. Even in the early New Testament days, it was the same. But the Bible's finished. So now it comes from the Word. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The Lord giveth wisdom. The New Testament equivalent of that would be James chapter 1, verse 5. Every Christian should know that verse by heart. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. What does it say? And it shall be given him. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God loves us. God wants what's best for us. God wants to take care of us. And so if we come to him with this attitude of meekness, Lord, I don't know the answers, but you do. Lord, I need direction. I need wisdom. What do you think God's going to do with that? Just ignore us? No. He will answer. He will provide the wisdom. And he'll do it through his word. The wisdom that is from above, verse 17. It comes from the Lord. And then God describes, if this kind of wisdom is working in our lives, it's going to be easily seen in our behavior. Look what's going to happen. Verse 17, first pure. First, pure. If our wisdom is coming from God and His Word, our lives are going to change. Amen? The Bible says, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. If our life is filled with sin, we're not getting our wisdom from God. It's first pure. Purity is going to become part of our lives if we're acquiring godly wisdom. Now you understand what God was saying at the beginning of the passage. Wisdom is evident in our conversation, in our works, in all that we do. It's seen because we will be changed by the power of the Word of God. So it's first pure, then peaceable. Have you ever known a Christian to have an unresolved difference with another Christian? Yes, we all have. That's the opposite of peaceable, by the way. Christians make peace. Look at verse 18. Make peace. Christians get things resolved. The Bible says, follow peace with all men in Hebrews chapter 12. If you have godly wisdom, it's going to be evident because there's not going to be unresolved differences. There's just going to be peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Psalm 119:165. So it's first pure, it's peaceable, then what? Gentle. It sounds like godly wisdom actually affects our behavior, doesn't it? These things are talking about the things that we do. Purity, having peace with each other, being gentle. The Bible says, a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle in 2 Timothy 2:24. We're to be gentle unto all men, it says. Then it goes on to say, easy to be entreated. You know what this basically means? It means that you're approachable, and that if somebody asks for your time or for your help, the answer is always yes. That's what it means. Easy to be entreated. You're compliant. I don't know about you, but I've known Christians that aren't that way. God says we will be that way if we're acquiring godly wisdom. Romans 12:10 says, in honor preferring one another. Putting others first. Philippians 2:4 says, look not every man on his own things, but also every man on the things of others. That's easy to be entreated. Putting others first. The answer is always yes, in other words. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I'll give you some time. Yes, I'll do whatever I can to be a blessing. Easy to be entreated. And by the way, again, you can't have unresolved differences if you're easy to be entreated. That's impossible. Then he goes on to say, full of mercy. The Bible says, be ye therefore merciful, even as your Father is also merciful, in Luke 6:36. A Christian that's acquiring godly wisdom is a merciful Christian. And it says, and good fruits. Look at Romans 6:22. He talks about this fruit. Because, by the way, there are bad fruits. If there's good fruits, there's bad fruits. And Romans 6:22 talks about these fruits. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. Good fruits. And then he finishes by saying, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Those are some tough ones, aren't they? James actually talks about this up in chapter 2, verse 1. Look there. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. That's partiality. And we're sinners, we're weak, and we all fall into this trap very easily, where we treat people differently based on whatever. And God says we shouldn't ever do that. But we form our little groups and nobody's allowed in. Think about it. Without partiality. And then without hypocrisy. What's the number one accusation that the world gives about Christians as an excuse for not getting saved? They're hypocrites. We've all heard it, haven't we? Multiple times. Godly wisdom leads to a lack of hypocrisy. 1 Peter chapter 1, turn there if you would. Verse 22. The Bible says, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Unfeigned means it's not fake. It means it's real love. By the way, real love is evident because it's what we do. It's not what we feel. So what is James trying to tell us here? He says, if you are a wise man, or who is a wise man, it's going to be obvious. Through your conversation, through your works, your life is going to be different. If your wisdom is from above, from God, it's going to be evident. Pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. It's going to be obvious. And if your life isn't a reflection of these things, then the wisdom's coming from somewhere else. As he says, it doesn't descend from above, it descends from somewhere else. and that it's earthly and sensual and devilish. So each of us has to make that determination that I'm going to get my wisdom from the Lord and the Lord alone. I'm going to approach God with this attitude of meekness, never having the attitude that I've arrived or I have all the answers, but that God has the answers so that I can keep getting more. Because if we think that we know anything, what did it say? We know nothing. So God's desire is that we be a wise man. But now we understand that that doesn't just mean gaining a bunch of information and filling our head with a bunch of facts. It means allowing the Word of God to permeate our lives such that our lives are changed. Our conversation is a reflection of Christianity. Our conversation is as it becometh the gospel of Jesus Christ. So who's a wise man? I hope all of us can say, I'm working on it. I'm in the Word every day, seeking wisdom from God. I'm praying for wisdom for every major decision that I have to make, even the minor ones. Doesn't hurt to pray for wisdom. Amen. I'm asking God for wisdom, and I'm in His Word seeking wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Who is a wise man, James says. I hope we can all say, I'm working on it. Amen? And it's evident because God's changing me. Let's pray.